Welcome to the first ever EBU Radio Sport podcast. Coming up in this inaugural episode, we'll celebrate World Radio Day and profess our love for sport on the radio.
EBU's Radio Sport podcast.
I'm David Nacht, and most of my professional time is spent working as a radio and TV editor in sports for the Flemish public service broadcaster in Belgium, VRT. We are a member of the EBU, which is an alliance of public service broadcasters across Europe and beyond. And I have the distinguished role of being chair of the EBU Radio Sport Group. Our group meets twice a year to discuss issues affecting broadcasters both in Europe and around the world. During our discussions, we've spotted a few common trends affecting everyone. Sports rights, how to reach younger audiences, and changing technology. Each of these podcasts will aim to focus on a different area of this common ground. The first episode is being launched to coincide with UNESCO's World Radio Day, which falls on the 13th of February each year. Here's Tim Francis from UNESCO to explain a little about World Radio Day and why it's relevant to us.
World Radio Day was created 6 or 7 years ago to celebrate radio, to promote international cooperation on the airwaves, and to discuss some of the important issues. So every year we have a theme that we focus on. We choose one of the main issues to look at, and we've done gender equality, we've done radio in times of humanitarian and disaster, and this year we're looking at radio and sports.
One of UNESCO's aims with World Radio Day is to address a lack of diversity in radio sport coverage, both in terms of gender and in terms of underrepresented grassroots sports. With the help of two guests on opposite sides of the world, we'll look at some of these issues from a public service perspective.
So my name is Christophe Mallet. I work for SBS Radio.
I'm Eleanor Aldroyd. I'm a sports presenter for BBC Sport and Radio 5 Live.
I recently caught up with Christophe Mallet when I was at the Australian Open Tennis in Melbourne. Christophe is an executive producer at SBS in Australia, a TV and radio service with a fascinating past.
SBS Radio, broadcasting English.
SBS Radio.
The Australian government started the national health system here, and they started this little radio to explain in 6 different other languages than English why do they need this national health system. And then after 6-8 months, they realized they had a magical tool in their hands, and then it grew, and today we have 68 different languages, and then we cover a lot of different things, including sport, of course.
It's Saturday. It's 5 o'clock, time for Sports Report.
Eleanor Aldroyd is the queen of BBC Radio Sport, the first and only female presenter of BBC Radio's flagship sports programme, Sports Report.
It's one of my proudest moments to have been part of Sports Report's long history. After 70 years, there's still only been one woman to present it, and that was me. And I first did it in 1995. And I just remember the tingle down the spine to say the words, "It's Saturday. It's 5 o'clock, time for Sports Report." To think that you're part of something which has been going for 70 years is astonishing. And one of the other things, of course, Test Match Special celebrated its 60th anniversary last year. And I must have been quite young when I got my own first radio, and I remember listening to cricket tours overseas when I was a kid, listening in the dead of night to the crackly sound.
Crash got the bowling, Mander bowled to him, Eric Rowan sealed up close, and silly mid on.
So for me, it has been a lifelong passion, I think, radio.
The memory of listening to the radio as a child is one that resonates with me. I discovered my love for sport on the radio during the FIFA World Cup in 1986, listening in bed at night, in the middle of the night, I should say, to Belgium knocking out the Soviet Union, and then Spain going on to reach the semi-finals there. And through all of the changes that we've seen in the media landscape, that passion for sport on the radio still exists with young people. Christophe Mallet experienced exactly that during the 2014 FIFA World Cup in Brazil.
When Australia lost against Spain in Brazil, that was the end of their campaign. And then we did a talk back on that night, and it was like 4 a.m. here. And we got a guy that called us. We discovered with him that he was a 13-year-old, that his parents forbid to actually watch the match on TV because he was too young and he had school. So what he did, he went to bed and listened to us on radio in his earphones, and he called us, and then he took part, and he said,
Yeah, Australia was rubbish. They stopped up.
He gave us his 2 cents, but that was one of the major moments for us because we just went, this kid is got a true passion for football. And this is what radio is. You know, like, yes, there's TV. Yes, there's a lot of... But if you are in the ears of the people, that guy was in bed, 13-year-old, you know you're reaching someone.
Big events like the World Cup are some of the most exciting competitions that we get to cover on the radio. We're doing more than transporting listeners to a local football ground. We're taking them across time zones to a stadium on the other side of the world. Eleanor Aldroyd is currently in Pyeongchang, broadcasting from her 11th Olympic Games. Her first games were in 1992, where Linford Christie claimed gold in that Olympic high point, the men's 100 metres final.
That is the moment, you know, that 10 seconds at an Olympic Games, I think, is the most exciting, globally important moment of any Olympics. I think it's the ultimate blue ribbon event. You know, it's the gold medal that everyone remembers. The night that Linford won it, they brought him down the IBC to be interviewed. You know, so after the immediate reaction on the track side, they then brought him into the TV studio and they brought him in to see us as well. And so I interviewed Linford that night when he was the most famous sportsman on the planet. And I will always remember that moment. It was so exciting. I remember being in Sydney in 2000 in the stadium when Denise Lewis won her gold medal in the heptathlon. I was on air when Rebecca Adlington won her second gold medal in Beijing in the pool. Every Games has had really fantastic moments, and I was in Rio, I just followed British medals around all the time, and Andy Murray winning his gold medal as well against Juan Martín del Potro. It was just one of the most visceral, exciting, emotion-packed sporting occasions I've ever seen.
That passion that Eleanor shares there is the same for all of us covering sport. We love the idea of carrying the listener through the theatre of the mind to the start line of a 100-metre race or to the 18-yard box in a FIFA World Cup penalty shootout. Football is, without doubt, the biggest sport that any of us cover, from cold, wet soccer grounds in the middle of winter to the glamour and showbiz of the World Cup. All broadcasters, including we at VRT, are making final preparations ahead of the World Cup in Russia this year. SBS will also be there with their biggest operation to date.
We will, for the first time, have a radio presence. We never had any radio really deep down, full-on presence, and take advantage of that time difference. People are watching matches during the night, but also don't disregard the fact that people want to look clever at the coffee machine in the morning. They want to, so you sort of help them, giving them their analysis and lines of thoughts about what happened. And for us, the World Cup is a massive platform because you've got all those magical nations that are meeting in one place where they're going to meet on the SBS airwaves as well. And we are going to broadcast every single match of this World Cup twice. So we'll do every single match live in English, and we'll do every single match in one of the language of that competition. So this is extremely exciting, and I don't even know if there's any country in the world that does this to our scale, you know?
World Radio Day.
世界Radio Day.
Dia Mundial de la Radio.
世界无线电影.
世界无线电视.
Journée Mondiale de la Radio.
Celebrate World Radio Day.
One of the objectives of World Radio Day is to improve the coverage of grassroots sports. Tim Francis from UNESCO again.
Perhaps, you know, you have this game between Madrid and Barcelona and everyone follows it around the world, and it really brings the world together, and I think that's a positive thing. But I also think we could maybe try to encourage more diversity, more different kinds of sports. So instead of just focusing on a narrow selection of sports, the same few sports around the world, would like to encourage looking at, you know, more coverage for traditional sports in different countries, more coverage of grassroots sports, community sports, looking at the positive ways that sports can play a positive role in the community instead of focusing on the same elite games all the time.
I think the good thing from a BBC point of view is that because we have this ongoing interest with the Olympics on a 2-year cycle, you're focusing a lot on sports which aren't the mainstream. People love the stories of Olympians, I think, and of people in the smaller sports. So, for example, coming up to Winter Olympics, people will suddenly go, oh my goodness, curling. I've forgotten what a great sport it is, and they'll become passionate about it again. And so I think that one of the challenges that I was set a couple of years ago was to do a programme which told stories of people who we know about every 4 years, but we want to know what they're doing in the time in between. So it's called the Friday Sports Panel, and it's a weekly show, and we get on guests from a whole range of different sports. But I think the other important thing that the BBC has done is the Get Inspired campaign to get people into grassroots sport. And I do a programme called Get Inspired with Darren Campbell, you know, Olympic relay champion. He loves the stories of what gets people out and gets them active. And we did a programme just before Christmas, actually, with a woman called Dawn Nesbitt, who did a park run, so a 5K park run for the first time last year. You know, she will say herself she was quite overweight, but as she crossed the line, the look of utter joy on her face was the most amazing picture, and that went viral. And so we've kept up with Dawn, and we've talked to her quite a lot. So I think having those stories and telling those stories is really important, and it's something that we want to continue to do.
We at VRT find it very important to not just cover the two biggest sports here in Belgium, which are football and cycling. During the course of 2017, we covered 61 different sports, even got as far as wheelchair dancing. And here's Christophe Mallet from SBS again.
It's very important that to understand a lot of the migrants here in Australia, albeit from first, second or third generation, what they have is a culture of sport. And it's not the same sport that true blue, I should say, Australians have. So a lot of people from European background or African background have a look at a different sport. And this is where SBS has a major role to play, because we look at sports that are football, tennis, track and field, you know, athletics. All this might not actually be the natural sport all year round for the Australians, but we are trying to give it a different spin, a different take on SBS.
How easy or how difficult is it for a small public broadcaster such as SBS to acquire the rights for those maybe smaller sports but still quite relevant sports?
If the Aussies are doing well, then maybe commercial networks are a lot more interested to tell the Australian story in so-called soccer or football. If they're not doing so well, then maybe SBS is a bit more free to do so. And it's the same for cycling. You know, like the success Australia had with Cadel Evans, for example, certainly raised the interest for sports like cycling. But it's all good for us, because then we have that relationship with the more traditional sports. We are the home of football. We are the home of cycling. And we are recognized as such in Australia. So it's all good.
The subject of sports rights is fascinating. It's one that dominates a lot of our meetings of the EBU Radio Sport Group. Tim Francis hopes that World Radio Day could open the eyes of broadcasters.
Obviously, it can be a challenge financially to compete with broadcasting rights for major events. We'd like to sort of present this vision to broadcasters of sports broadcasting that looks at different kinds of sports, that looks at different levels of sports, that focuses on women's sport and men's sport and mixed sport, that looks carefully and considers carefully the ways that the athletes are portrayed. For example, women represent just 7% of all the sports people portrayed in the media around the world, and only 4% of sports stories focus predominantly on women.
Dear Diary, today I decided that I'm going to break a world record. I jumped the highest fence in the playground, and everyone was so impressed, they said I looked like I was flying. After practicing a lot, I'll become really good. I'll get my big shots in Madrid 2030. I'll run really fast, and I'll jump higher than ever before. And when time stops and I'm so high up that I can almost touch the sky, they'll say.
And she sure jumps high for such a big girl.
It's time the media gave women athletes the coverage they deserve. For more information, visit worldradioday.org.
There's a huge imbalance in media in general, but especially in sports. We see that that's even stronger. And there's also the issue of opportunities for women broadcasters, and the imbalance is even wider.
The opportunities that I've had as a woman in the BBC have been great. I mean, I've never been prevented from doing anything I've wanted to do. I mean, the fact that in 1984, when I started in local radio, my boss at the time was very, very happy for me to go and cover cricket. And that was really forward-thinking, actually, at that stage, because there really were no other women broadcasting about sport in the mid-1980s. But, I mean, it was early days for women in sports radio, so it was, you felt quite exposed. But what you didn't have in those days was social media. Anybody who wanted to say, what is this woman doing on my radio talking about football, had to sit down write a letter, find the address of where it was going to go to, buy a stamp and go to the postbox. Whereas now, young women in sports broadcasting, even though there are an awful lot more of them, so there's that safety in numbers thing, it's much, much easier for people to be abusive if they want to be. If I'm doing a live program now, because we get Twitter feeds coming into us, you know, we have a screen in which we can see all the things that people are texting. You can choose two settings. You can either have it curated by a producer, so you only see the things that they have approved for you to see, or you can see the whole unedited tsunami of stuff that can come your way. And I always go for the curated feed.
In a modern world of social media, taking the potential online abuse aside, of course, some have argued that radio is no longer attractive to young people.
Radio is still very important. It's just the way we listen to it. During the Ashes series and the England-Australia Ashes series Down Under, we had the most amazing number of hits of people listening to our radio commentary through the BBC Sport website and the BBC Sport app. Way more than we're watching on TV.
What we have found is a very nice niche in the podcast field. We find that the podcasts are working very well for us. We have a story to tell in podcasts. We found a format that works really well because you get a lot more freedom in a podcast. If the podcast is 15 minutes, it's 15 minutes. If it's 27, it's 27. No one was going to tie you down to some schedule. So in your head, you're already a lot more free to tell that story.
Christoph may say that podcasts aren't limited by duration, but we'll call time on the first episode of the EBU Radio Sport podcast. Finally, and we'll do this in every episode of this podcast, I'd like the last word to go to our esteemed EBU representative, Christoph Pasquier. Not a day goes by when Christoph isn't screaming about some new kind of app or service that will promise to change the way we produce sport on the radio. Just think of him as the mad professor in his crazy social media laboratory. Here's Christoph's one to watch for this first podcast.
The first tool I would like to promote is Pure Propaganda, but one that is relevant as we celebrate World Radio Day. We have created a tool here at EBU called Storyboard. It's designed to be super easy and super quick in allowing journalists to take an audio clip and turn it in to a small video file for social media. You can add subtitles, logos or graphic design and export a masterpiece all within the browser. We've made this tool available to broadcasters as part of World Radio Day. Just go to worldradioday.org to find out more.
My special thanks to Eleanor Aldroyd from the BBC, Christoph Mallet from SBS, and Tim Francis from UNESCO. Happy World Radio Day from all of us here at VRT and the EBU.
Happy World Radio Day.